Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, consumers are turning to shopping little and often to help manage household budgets as high grocery inflation continues. That's according to the latest research from Kantar. The research found that in the 12 weeks to the 14th of May, grocery inflation rose by 16.5% compared to the same period last year. Meanwhile, farmers are warning that we will continue to see food prices rise due to the impact of tighter environmental rules on the cost of food production. Well, for more on this, I was joined a little earlier on by President of the Irish Farmers Association, Tim Cullinan, and Coordinator of Stop Climate Chaos, Sive O'Neill. And I began by asking Tim Cullinan about these warnings from farmers that food prices will continue to rise as new environmental requirements drive up food production costs.
Food inflation has been increasing over the last number of months now, or almost a year now. But, you know, we're coming off the back of years of deflation. Food prices was going down for the last 10 years. Actually, 20 years, food prices had been going down. And, you know, we're seeing a levelling off here now. And I suppose there's a few reasons for that. And, of course, the first one, obviously, is the cost of production. You know, we've seen in the same period, in the last 10-year period, electricity costs was up somewhere in the region of 127%. All our other costs, you know, food, or feed, fuel and fertiliser, obviously since the start of the war in Ukraine, we see massive inflation there as well, not coming down in line with the rest of the general economy. And you're right, Sarah, you know, from an environmental point of view, if we go back to this time last year, the government agreed a reduction of 25% in emissions from agriculture, and we're working on that. We're working on that plan, and obviously there's a lot of costs associated with that plan. And at the time, the government was saying, in particular the Green Party was saying, there would be funding available. We have seen no funding whatsoever coming from government around reducing emissions. And obviously there's a cost in this for the primary producer, and it is going to cost food going into the future. And just finally, I was at a General Assembly of World Farmers in South Africa last week, and I'm hearing the same. I spoke to farmers from all over the world last week, and I don't know, farmers are saying the same right around the world. Their costs of complying with environment is putting substantial costs on the cost of production, and you know, somebody has to pay for this.
Yeah. Your predecessor, Eddie Downey, former Irish Farmers Association president, was being quoted in the Sunday Independent following a speech he gave to the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party, apparently on May 17th. And he was saying, in terms of food inflation, he said, you ain't seen nothing yet because food inflation is going to go through the roof. But he pointed specifically at nitrates banding. Now, he said there were lots of issues that he talked about: zoned land and forestry, solar, wind, rewetting, nitrates payments, people chasing land to get payments. But in terms of nitrates banding specifically, he pointed at that and said that was causing big problems. Can you explain to us what that means for farmers and why it's causing big problems?
Yeah, I suppose in simple terms, what that means is that you need to produce the same amount of produce, let it be dairy or beef, that you were doing this time last year, where you require more land to do the same this year. And obviously, you know, there's a limited supply of land within the country. And you're right, all of the measures we've been asked to do now is putting more pressure on the availability of land, and it's driving up the price of land rental. I assume that's where Eddie is coming from there. But look, it's overall the substantial costs involved in, you know, reducing emissions, which we have signed up to do. We are doing. We're on a roadmap on reducing emissions, and you know, whether it is nitrates banding, derogations, or a lot of talk at the moment around rewetting, and absolutely we are not there, and we're not agreeing to any of that at the moment. But these are all threats to agriculture at the moment. And I suppose the other thing is, you know, there's a finite amount of land right across the world to produce top quality food, and we happen to be in one of the regions that, you know, is an excellent area for producing food. And you know, I'm hearing this from, you know, in particular farmers in North Africa last week, that they want us to continue to doing that, or, you know, if there is a famine, it's not the people in Europe who will be really impacted, it's the people in those third world countries.
Sive O'Neill, I might bring yourself in on this, and as you can hear there, Tim Cullinan saying this 25% reduction in agriculture emissions was agreed by government last year, but it was also meant to be accompanied by funding for the cost of trying to reach those cuts in emissions, and that funding hasn't materialised. Does that surprise you, and is that fair?
Well, I suspect that there are a number of obstacles to rolling out the measures that need to be taken to reduce emissions from the agriculture and food sector. In reality, there's a huge amount of opposition to the various measures coming from certain cohorts in the agri-food sector. And not all farmers have been convinced as yet of the need to take climate action at a national level and at a catchment level. So the costs, it would be important to say, are being driven by the fact that fertiliser is more expensive. We have a war in Ukraine. We have, you know, lots of disruption to global food supply for various reasons. And we also have increasing environmental regulation. But the important thing I would say is that this environmental regulation is long overdue. The EPA have been warning for years that agriculture is the major driver of biodiversity loss, of ammonia emissions that are an air quality problem, and also of deteriorating water quality. And we just simply can't ignore these environmental costs. So while farmers are now facing into what seems like an uncertain future, I think the most important thing is we get the agricultural sector on track to shifting towards a more sustainable system. Not all food production needs to be treated the same way. So we are very livestock dependent in Ireland, but in fact, we're importing fruit and vegetables. Up to 80% of the fruit and vegetables we see on supermarket shelves, we are not growing here. And horticulture, our food growers are going out of business and are projected to go even more out of business. So we're heading in the wrong direction if we think that livestock production is the only way to feed the world.
And is that what this nitrates banding is really about? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of how it works effectively, in order to cut nitrates emissions, you would either, as a farmer, have to reduce the number of livestock you have or get more land with the same number of livestock.
It's basically a shift towards more extensive production. So you're, as you say, either putting in less inputs or you're using more land. And there's a cost.
Is that a way of cutting the herd, really? Or forcing farmers to cut the herd, really?
That could be an indirect outcome, absolutely. I'm not a farmer. I don't know how you would implement those measures in practice. Maybe some farmers can maintain their herd numbers. It's a kind of a calculation based on cost and the availability of land. And for sure, there is pressure on farmers. For sure, there's pressure on land. There is a lot of competing demands for land. But that begs the question about what's the most efficient use of that land. And farmers are insisting that they have voluntary say over everything they do with the land that they own. And that's very understandable. But on the other hand, they're providing public goods, which the state needs to pay for, which the European Union is paying for through cap payments. So I think the public sector is entitled to ask of farmers that they manage their land in such a way that they're, you know, developing and bringing more public goods into the system for the rewards they're getting from the state and the European Union.
Okay, Tim?
So that's a legitimate request from farmers.
Look, Sarah, to say, look, we need to, like, if you look at this debate and, you know, the processing industry, retailers, everyone now wants to make a claim that they're more sustainable and the food they're selling is more sustainable. And we need to remember there's a scope 1, 2, and 3, and the primary producer is scope 3. And, you know, unless we are fully sustainable, well, then retailers cannot be claiming that they are. So my point here is the cost in getting there, whether it's having to acquire more land are doing the measures that we're doing using different types of fertilizer, which is a cost there as well, low emission slurry spreading.
Or are
new costs for farmers.
Or is it simply that this is the beginning of the system, you know, both the EU and national government forcing farmers really to move away from such reliance on livestock, whether it be dairy or beef farming?
No, look, I think we're always going to need livestock. We're going to need dairy produce. As I said, you know, we're lucky that the climatic conditions and the land type we have here in Ireland, you know, is very conducive to producing top quality food. And, you know, we have to continue doing that, not just alone for our own country here. But there's another side to this. There's a social aspect of this as well, is sustaining and maintaining people living in rural Ireland. If you look at the 16.2 billion of exports we had last year, that money trickles down into the local rural economy. And, you know, that's a very important point in the social side of sustainability as well.
And could that be done, as Saeva is pointing out, you know, that we're importing a lot of vegetables, for example? Could rural Ireland.
And fertiliser and feed, Sarah. We're importing the fertiliser and feed too.
Si, I didn't cut across you just to deal with the vegetables. We had 300 horticulture farmers up to 5 or 6 years ago in this country. Today, we have approximately 100 horticulture farmers left in this country because they've been dealing with, because they're fresh produce, dealing with retailers, using their produce as loss leaders over a long number of years and forcing them out of business. So if the government wants to get serious and protect that sector, well, then they need to, you know, we need proper legislation around that. And thankfully, we have the food regulator that was finally went through the final stages of the Dáil last week. And, you know, we need protection for that sector.
Okay,
is they will be extinct.
Okay, Saif?
Yes, sorry. Apologies for cutting across you, Tim. I was just wanting to make the point that it's not just imports of food; it's importing the materials that our livestock sector depends on, including fertilizer and feed when the animals are indoors during the winter time. So it's not really possible to say that the Irish livestock sector is completely self-sufficient when we're not self-sufficient in the feed.
Okay, would you accept, Saif, that what the IFA seems to be saying now at this point, which is that if all these environmental regulations are brought in the way that seems to be planned or in the way that's been done already, that the cost of food in our supermarkets, which is already through the roof, is going to go up further?
Well, I think a number of things are driving up food prices, and it's probably the case that we are not, as consumers, paying the full environmental cost of food production. We're not paying the true ecological cost, and instead the environment is bearing that cost in terms of biodiversity loss and pollution. So food price increases are probably inevitable. But here I agree with Tim and the farmers generally in kind of expressing concern about the role of large supermarkets and in driving down prices and enforcing certain food producers out of business. We need a different model of food production that brings the consumer closer to the producer. And there are examples of that. It's very, very difficult for food producers to connect with consumers. Other countries have shown the way with community supported agriculture and various kinds of co-ops. And we'd love to see more efforts going into that type of approach rather than expecting farmers to achieve sustainability without the necessary supports and access to markets. Okay. But I think higher prices are probably inevitable one way or the other.
Okay, so and Tim, final word to you on that then. Is that maybe just the way this is going? We all have to accept as consumers that in order to do our bit for the environment, we have to pay more for food to help farmers with the cost of the environmental regulations that you're implementing on all of our behalfs. And if we all agree to do that, maybe that's the way forward.
Absolutely, Sarah. And as I said at the start of the interview, we've been dealing with the price of food falling at retail level for many, many years. And for the first time, we're seeing food inflation. And absolutely, there's a substantial amount of new costs associated with achieving our environmental goals. And just finally, on the fertiliser, Minister Eamon Ryan came out last year, saying farmers would have to adopt further measures. And he was talking here around anaerobic digestion, which is a process where you can generate fertiliser from animal manures. Mm. But at the time, he said there would be funding. We have seen no funding, good, bad, or whatever, ever since that time with the minister. So, if the government are serious about this, there's two places the funding can come from. It either has to come from the government or dear food prices. You're absolutely correct.
And that was the president of the Irish Farmers Association, Tim Cullinan, and coordinator of Stop Climate Chaos, Saif O'Neill, speaking to me a little earlier. Just some of your texts in on that. One person says, Sarah, what farmers are doing in the production of fresh food is not optional, therefore has to be paid for. We're governed by rules protecting the environment, and therefore we have to have more acres to produce the same amount of food. Also, all the overheads like insurance, electricity, fertilisers, gone through the roof. No point telling people it's optional if you want fresh milk, vegetables and Irish meat. That comes from Mary in Wicklow. But one other person, P. Murphy, says there should be no food price rises. Farmers are already heavily subsidised by urban consumers. It's time for farm reform and open markets. And keep your texts coming to 51551.